At RX Bar, they believe in simple nutrition without the BS. That's why they said no to artificial ingredients and yes to deliver intentional, transparent nutrition. Try their original 12-gram protein bar, the Nut Butter and Oat Bar, or Minis. RX Bar, the proud sponsor of No BS. Use code RXBAR on rxbar.com for 25% off, subject to full terms and conditions and to change. Valid until September 30, 2025, and may not be combined with other offers. See rxbar.com for full details and limitations.
Off the ball breakfast.
Yeah, I'm mixing up Panossi and San Sebastian. Maybe I am.
This is like a slow bicycle race of shit teams to glory.
Jesus.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on the Sunday game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
All right, welcome to the show where we predict the future, footballing-wise, of course. Who you got is in association with William Hill. Remember, you must be over 18. Visit gamblingcare.ie for more. And who do I got? A couple of sport broadcasting greats. I have Phil the Power Egan. Nice to have you back on the football beat, Phil.
How are you doing?
And birthday boy, Ger Gilroy. Happy birthday, Ger.
Oh, thanks very much, Colm. Wasn't sure we were going to get to do this, but, you know.
Yeah, it's great that we've been able to partner like this. And what better way for you to spend your birthday than to be predicting some football on who you got?
Hey, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be a very bad partner now, you know. I'm going to just mimic how you are in the mornings, casually winding people up, twisting the knife.
You can do what you want. It's your birthday.
Thanks.
We'll excuse you for today alone. We'll start with last week's results to see how everybody got on. And I believe that one Michael McCarthy is on the cusp of overall victory here. But once again, and I do this when I do this slash, Ger, it's regularly Wilhelm O'Callaghan who's top after each week.
Oh, I got my.
And how's he not winning the league?
I got my 2 points.
Oh, look at that. So there's consternation there within last week, folks, for everybody listening, is that Phil Egan didn't get his predictions in on time like the rest of us. Same with Kathleen McNamee. And so therefore...
I waited until the results were out and was like...
No,
therefore, I wasn't counted. There was literal gaps in the graphics last week.
I submitted them at 6:15 a.m. on Friday morning. So, okay, it's not ideal, but I went to the DRA and they've given me my 2 points back.
The fax machine, the telex broke.
Yeah. It's like De Gea and the Real Madrid move.
Can we see those results again from last week, please? Because I have to give the props here to Emma Carroll, who actually picked on behalf of Will. And one Will, is that 5 points? God bless my eyesight. Yeah, 5 points. With Nathan coming in second last week with 4 points. And there's a collection of threes, including yours truly. And Ger as well. Kathleen with 0 because her scores didn't count. But yours did? Is that what happened there?
Well, he entered
I did get my scores in.
Kathleen didn't. That's the difference.
It's harsh.
She was on holidays.
It's tough. I remember when she was given 3 points at the start of last season. How did Mikey fall? You know? Let's see the overall table. And how we're all looking. Whoa, look at that. So top of the league. Let's top of the league. Let's concentrate on something positive. It is your birthday after all. Mick is on top with... Now, does that say 97?
Yeah. Does, yeah.
And it says he's 11 points clear. What is he? PSG? Like, this is a rampage. Yeah, I actually won it by 11 points last season, but that's neither here nor there. How about...
Do you want Jer's glasses?
How about Mick's form this year?
Mick's on 97. Will's on 86. Phil is on 84. Still in with a shout.
No, I think Mick could be getting the Guard of Honour next week.
You probably
he can win it this weekend.
You probably need 2 douze points. If you were going to pull it off.
Yeah.
Which I don't think you can.
Well, more chance of me getting Dewspaw than Ireland at the Eurovision.
What are you...
Are we out? I didn't see it.
We didn't.
We lost semi-final there.
You know yourself, Basel, not an easy place to go.
It's not, in fairness, especially on Thursday night.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you missing, Phil, to go all the way? You've been close twice.
A striker.
The arsenal of who you got.
Yeah, actually, I've started to gather a momentum, but it's too late. I've made my run a bit too late, but... yeah, it's just some weeks are just 2 minutes away from a perfect score and then somebody decides to...
Heartbreak.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And then there are weeks you just you put the scores in just to troll your colleagues and it doesn't show up on the scoreboard.
You went a bit mental there the first half of the season, I thought.
Well,
I didn't think you were taking this seriously.
Just trying to provoke some conversation.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Otherwise, what are we here for?
I was probably a bit too positive on Man United, it turns out.
But you still are in many ways. But you're in the penultimate place in the table, and never mind the rest of that. But Mick can basically win the league.
So you've gone from first
week
to last. Yeah. What happened to you?
Can win the league
bad
this
champions
week.
You are Icarus
with a game to spare.
Look at that, the waxy wings.
Yeah. It's very... What's happened to me is very Leicester City 2016-17.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I had my high, and in many ways, and I actually did feel that I should have done it at the time. I should have gone with my instincts that I should have taken the season off.
Oh,
really? I was partying all summer.
I should have not shown up for work.
Yeah. I was partying all summer, so to speak, of course.
Well, like Arnold Slot in Ibiza, you were.
Exactly, yeah. So I really should have taken off.
What is the story with that? What's
going on there?
Arnie Slot out in Wayne Lineker's bar.
In Ibiza, and the players in Dubai.
And the guy from EastEnders is there. That's where I saw it. It was on Popitch or The Upshot, one of those. So there's like these dancers with the word champions up. And Dean from EastEnders is like, ugh. And then it turns out, oh, it's not for me. It's for Arnie Slot. Yeah. Yeah. Who was living his best life?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, he deserves it, you know. Just a guy deserved it last summer, but he needs to learn.
The season's over, obviously.
In the background, the guys with the laptops are doing their recruitment.
Well, and that's where I lacked last season. I just thought more of the same, and we'll do it again.
You had no guys on laptops.
I had nothing. I was just me and myself.
Is there a darker side? Does that suggest some kind of shaming? But is there like an alternative universe that Arne Slot and Havis that we don't know anything about?
Well, look, not to get too deep on a Friday when it's sunny outside, but I think everyone has a dark side.
Oof.
And I'm sure Arnie does as well. But always seen as charms because it's gone so spectacularly well. I remember saying that, Phil, throughout the season. I was like, wait for Liverpool to go on a bad run. It just never happened.
They never did.
Now, well, they're on their bad run at the moment, but they've won the league.
And he's in Ibiza.
Yeah.
It's a direct correlation. Shall we go to our first game?
Sorry, they do have matches left, right?
Well, they're playing Brighton on Monday.
We should all just pile in on Brighton to win, right?
Yeah.
That is like the most one-sided game. Are we predicting that game?
No, that's Monday night. And then they play Palace on the final day, which could be a dress rehearsal for the Community Shield if Palace win the Cup this weekend.
So Palace will already have won the Cup. That'll be like the...
That would be one hell of a party.
That's a 5-5, isn't it? A 7-5 game.
Possibly, yeah. Or else just a 1-1. Let's just
stroll
take
around.
It easy. Yeah, like Ireland, Holland, Italian 90 kind of thing. Without the back pass rule.
Aston Villa, Tottenham Hotspur is our feature game this week. We're going to get to Dave Kenner from William Hill in just a moment, but let's look at the predictions here. Whoa, look at that. Everyone has given up on Spurs, including their manager probably, lost faith in them. But this, for the listeners out there who can't see this, it's all Aston Villa in tonight's game in the Premier League, 7:30. I have 3-2. Now, don't let that 3-2 alarm you, Villa fanger. I just think that Spurs will get a late goal after Villa take their foot off the proverbial gas. What does Phil have? 3-0. And Jer, you have... Oh, you're close. You're probably the closest there.
Yeah.
1-0. Why are you so nervous on behalf of your side?
Villa are very nervy.
But it's Spurs. Come on, lads. It's Tottenham.
It's the Spurs. In
every sense of the word. Come on, lads. It's Tottenham.
Spurs do very well against Villa. Spurs have a stylistic issue when it comes to...
What about this version of
Unai
Spurs?
Unai Emery. I look, you have to... The evidence of our eyes is that Spurs is the biggest basket case in the Premier League at the moment. Perhaps even more than Ruben Amorim.
Was it last season Spurs won 4-0 away to Villa?
And
it was just everything went according to plan. Even Timo Werner was...
I think Villa actually played quite well for the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was kind of nip and tuck. And then it was bang, bang, bang. Oh my God. And that was when I was fully on board the Ange roller coaster.
Do Spurs rest absolutely everyone for this game, considering what happened
absolutely,
the Dejan Kulusevski, Lucas Bergvall? Who else is missing for them in the final? They have someone else missing. James Maddison, of course, out for the season. So there's three fairly key players. Like Bergvall has been one of their very few positives this
season. None of the back four are playing. He'll rest Vicario as well.
Mm.
So you think so?
Yeah, well, he did last week in the league.
But you don't think he needs to give them a game before next?
I think all that is... I can understand, like people say, about rhythm, but Spurs don't have any rhythm.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And United are the same.
Yeah, well, that's true. Like, I'm not even Forrest furious here, because potentially this could be a great night for Forrest without kicking a ball. So if Villa and Chelsea both drop points, because Chelsea are playing Manchester United tonight at 8:15 at Stamford Bridge, if they both drop points, it's potentially a fantastic weekend for Forrest, because if they win, they'll leapfrog them.
Mm.
But there's not a world, lads, where Villa and Chelsea don't collect all 3 points tonight, considering the state of Spurs Man United.
Well, I'd have more faith in United getting a result at Stamford Bridge than I would Spurs at Villa Park. And that's just because I think the way Spurs play, it'll suit Villa. I don't know what kind of starting 11 Amorim's going to go with, but United will make it tough for Chelsea. And Chelsea are, like, when they're good, they can be very good, but I didn't think they were very good against Newcastle.
Dave Kellner from William Hill is on the line to join us. Hopefully you've been hearing that conversation, Dave, to tee up our feature game between Aston Villa and Tottenham Hotspur. Are the lads right? Spurs don't have a chance?
Spurs got no chance, according to William Hill. They're 7-1 to win this game.
Wow.
Aston Villa are 100-30 on in the market. The draw 9-2. And yeah, I think Spurs are going to make plenty of changes. They've lost an eye-watering 20 games in the Premier League this season, which is absolutely incredible. So you're looking at Villa at a very, very short price, and it's trying to work out how you get value from the game. We've got that 25% winnings boost on Bet Builders. I'd be looking at Aston Villa to win the game. I do fancy plenty of goals in the game as well. Over 2.5 goals would be my play. And I'd go with Ollie Watkins to score the first goal of the game. You look through Watkins' record when he's been scoring. He tends to score first, Ollie Watkins. I mean, you look through his recent record, he's become Aston Villa's leading Premier League goal scorer. He scored the winner at Bournemouth. That's the fourth time in Villa's last 8 games that he's given them a 1-0 lead. So he tends to score first as well. And if you put those three together and you get a 25% win boost on this with William Hill as well, it's 9-2, which I think is fair value, and it should be a routine victory for Villa, really.
Yeah, so that is our charity bet that we're going with, brought to you again by Matthew Brennan, our incredibly talented young person off the ball, who was able to predict all these things for us. Aston Villa to win over 2.5 goals with Ollie Watkins to score.
So he's the only one who's been picking winners for us. Is that what you're...
I think it's a recent phenomenon, right, to be honest. Because we are like, Dave, you'll notice, we're consistently being overly ambitious all season. It's our downfall.
Yeah, it is. But I've got to say here, if you go with Ollie Watkins to score any time in that bet,
right,
it's 5-4. If you go with him to score first, it's 9-2. So you have a choice there for the charity bet.
What are you thinking?
I think any time, just to try and get the money in. We're like, we want to be able to hand over some money to
any time is our friend, Dave.
The week after next, you know. Early in the season, I'd be like, make it big. But now we're getting to the point where we're going to be, you know.
No, I think that's fair enough. We're in a generous mood. David, is Jared's birthday. We're going to go with his own choice there. We'll go any time, Matty Watkins.
Lovely. 5-4 then. That's Aston Villa to win over 2.5 goals, and Ollie Watkins to score in the match is available at 5-4 right now.
Perfect. Anything else to look out for this weekend?
Yeah, a few things. We've got the epic boost on the action tonight in the Chelsea versus Manchester United game. That's Pedro Neto to have a shot on target. That's even money from 1-2. Obviously, you've just discussed Manchester United and their chance against Chelsea this evening. Likely to make plenty of changes, and they've only picked up a point from their last 5 games. They've conceded 49 shots in that run as well. And with Nicholas Jackson suspended, you'd expect Pedro Neto to have a shot on target. He's going to be in a more prominent role this evening in that clash. And we've got our big money back offer on the FA Cup final, which we've not come on to yet. That's Palace versus Manchester City, obviously tomorrow afternoon. And that big money back offer with William Hill, if you place a bet on the final, it's simply opt-in. If you place a bet builder and it loses, we'll refund your losing stake as a free bet up to a fiver. So place any bet builder on the game, and if it loses, we'll refund your losing stake as a free bet up to a fiver. And there'll be loads of punters out there wanting a bet builder on that Palace versus Manchester City game. And I've got a sneaky feeling Palace might win it. I think Eze is in tremendous form, and I think Palace might... I know Pep Guardiola's got that amazing record in finals, hasn't he? I think he's contested 23 finals and won 21 of them, which is an insane statistic, really. But I just got a sneaky feeling for Palace in that final.
City must be a very short price, are they?
Yeah, the very, very short City. And as you would imagine, because I know that Palace went 2-0 up early in that meeting they had just a couple of weeks ago, and City came back and won the game convincingly. Their odds on to win the game in 90 minutes, City, 4-5. They're 2-5 to win the FA Cup. Palace are 16-5 there, with the draw in the betting at 27-10. But yeah, I just got a feeling for Palace, and it's more gut instinct rather than anything, because statistically City should win the final, really.
I just want,
but Palace with Eze, I like Palace. I like both teams to score, and I like Eze to score in the match, and that's available at 12-1 as a bet builder, which I quite like.
Right, yeah, he turns looking at me as if to say we've gone for the wrong charity bet.
No. I'm just taking a little lap of honour here. I remember distinctly advising everybody to back City to win the cup at the quarterfinal stage when they weren't odds on, saying that when it reaches the final, they're going to be a much shorter price. You'd be quizzed in, you could lay off, you could have that charity bet for free. That's how you make money, folks. I can't remember what the price was. It wasn't that good. It was like, would it have been 7-4 maybe at the quarterfinal stage?
Yeah, something like that. I think 7-4 sounds about right at the quarterfinal stage. But now that they are 2-5 to lift the trophy. And for those wanting something a little bit more substantial from a City perspective, I suppose you've got to look at Kevin De Bruyne, who's finished this. He had that little spell after he made his big announcement and obviously scored. I think he could get an assist in the game, Kevin De Bruyne, but I'd expect him to be influential if City are to win that final.
As a matter of interest, what are the odds of this going to penalties?
For the game to go to, you put me on the spot now, for the game to go to penalties, it is 6-1 for the match to go to penalties.
Okay.
It's a reasonable thing.
There's a fair bit to think about there, Dave.
We just breezed past the general shitness of Manchester United there. Like we should spend a little bit of time luxuriating.
Dave's a busy man.
No, I think, Colm, it's important we talk about this. Sorry, Phil made the point earlier on that he trusts Man United more than he trusts Spurs. It's obviously, you know, a race to the bottom when we're making these comparisons. Tonight, is exclusively tonight, to do something. What price are Man United tonight?
Manchester United are 5-1 tonight. I mean, it's unbelievable to think if you had that Manchester United Spurs double this evening. I know it's not going to happen, but just the fact that you get such a monster price about that double this evening is ridiculous, really, isn't it? I mean, could you ever have imagined a night when you'd get 47-1 about Spurs and Manchester United to win Premier League matches as a double? It's just, and it is, as you mentioned, Jay, a few moments ago, it is a race to the bottom with them because they've both been so abysmal this season. But to get nearly 50-1 on them as a double to win Premier League games, and it's not like they're against City and Arsenal here. It's against Chelsea and Villa. But you just cannot see it happening, can you, really, with the changes they're likely to make with that Europa League final looming? But just to put it out there, it's almost 50-1.
Bloody hell. it's tempting. All right, Dave, you set up very well there. Have a good weekend for yourself, Dev. Good weekend for yourself, I should say. Dave Kellner, William Hill, thanks a million.
Cheers, Dave.
Thank you.
At RX Bar, they believe in simple nutrition without the BS. That's why they said no to artificial ingredients and yes to deliver intentional, transparent nutrition. Try their original 12-gram protein bar, the Nut Butter and Oat Bar, or Minis. RX Bar, the proud sponsor of No BS. Use code RXBAR on rxbar.com for 25% off. Subject to full terms and conditions and to change. Valid until September 30, 2025, and may not be combined with other offers. See rxbar.com for full details and limitations.
This week on Diverted.
Sí, well, you know, cuando tienes tiempo en Argentina, es esencial para comer media luna todos los tiempos.
I tell the story of how my hitchhiking disaster led me to the family of Alexis McAllister.
Para nosotros también es un gran orgullo que mi hermano haya jugado con Maradona y Alexis, su hijo, haya jugado con Messi, que son los dos más grandes exponentes del fútbol mundial que dio la Argentina.
I also meet Dickie McAllister at the Buenos Aires Hurling Club, and we discover the national sport of Argentina, pato. Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
And just a reminder, who you got is in association with William Hill. Remember, you must be over 18. Visit gamblingcare.ie for more. Lads, you know what is absolutely mental? Spurs have scored 63 goals this season in the Premier League. They're one of the top scorers in the league, and their goal difference is +4. And they're 17th.
It won't be +4 by the end of the season, will it?
No, they play, obviously, Villa, and they've Brighton on the last day. And Brighton are the kind of team that...
just run up a score.
They'll obviously be buzzing off their after their win over Liverpool on Monday night, and they want to finish the season strongly. And Spurs will either be Europa League champions, or Ange could be out of a job before the final game of the season. Do you think that like that happens on Wednesday night? Do they think
he just walks in at the dressing room if they lose and goes, right,
doesn't even go in,
you're flying home on your own,
Tim Clancy style? Yeah, I don't know. I'd say he could see out the last day of the season. But I was asking John Duggan on Off the Ball Breakfast this morning, is there a world that if Spurs do win the Europa League final, does Ange Postecoglou remain in charge? And it was a definitive no from JD. I don't know about that. That's first trophy in a long time.
I think he would take whatever offer they made him in terms of a payment, right? Because he gets his head held high with the trophy.
Second season, as he said.
You know, and he goes and everybody understands that Spurs is a basket case.
Yeah.
So will he get a job somewhere else?
Absolutely, yeah.
I think he would, you know.
And they've obviously learned from don't sack your manager before a cup final like they did with Mourinho.
It was just that, in
six
retrospect,
days.
It was so stupid.
It was quite hidden as well, because that was the morning after the European Super League announcement, so it kind of went under the radar. But yeah, Mourinho left 6 days before that League Cup final that Ryan Mason had to preside over. Mental stuff altogether. Let's move to that FA Cup final that we touched on there with Dave. It's Crystal Palace against Manchester City. It's tomorrow, 4:30. It has the day to itself. There's no Premier League action tomorrow. It's just the FA Cup final. So this is mixed a bit. So I've gone for City comfortably enough, 2-0. Who else do we have in the room here? Gerb has gone for Palace, excitedly 3-2, as has Phil Egan. 2-1. Yeah. Crystal Palace have never won the FA Cup. Previous finals, both lost to Manchester United, 2016, and the replay in 1990. Why will this be different?
Because they're not playing Man United.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing, and Dave touched on it there, was the meeting in April, the Etihad, where Palace go 2-0 up, lose 5-2. Glasner says after the game, if we play you in the cup final, you're going to have to change your system because I'll have worked it out. Now, you know the way sometimes Pep, before a final or before a big game, overthinks things and does change things. Now, the only thing about him changing his system is Haaland didn't play that day. So you would imagine Haaland starts tomorrow. So straight away, that's a completely different system that you're playing, because Marmoush played as the furthest striker in that game. Now, he didn't start last week. He came off the bench against Southampton, which, if you're Glasner, you're watching that game going, just sit in. But obviously, Palace offer a far bigger threat on the break than Southampton did. But you were watching the game last week going, City have no real urgency here. Like, they need to win because they haven't guaranteed their Champions League football. They obviously will probably get it. Like, but yeah, it was just, you kind of expect City to score, but it never came.
Sure, the Palace fans will be glad all over rather than Glasnar, it's over.
Tab of the morning to you. Well done.
Thanks very much. Yeah,
it's great. It's great that it's such a
condescending sent with your girl.
There you go.
The fact that you have predicted this Palace victory. You're just doing it for the laugh. You don't really believe Palace are going to beat City. Defy that opinion.
1987, May the 16th, my birthday party in our gaff. We're all at the back playing football until the game kicks off.
What a game.
It is an all
his game.
It is an all time. We were all doing diving headers in the aftermath of it.
Love a diving header.
That Spurs team were showy, and everybody thought, well, they're going to, you know, this is a moment for them. Ricky Villa was in the popular consciousness. They're the cup side. Coventry never won anything.
Yep.
And they win 3-2. And it is an absolute cracker. And strange things happen on the sunny afternoon kickoff.
Yeah, same thing happened the following year. Wimbledon beat Liverpool.
You know, if it was a regular season game, I would definitely be on board with you. But my worry is Palace
Pep
at Wembley
in the finals record is
against City.
Good.
I was there trying to think the ones he's lost. Obviously, last season's cup final and then the Champions League final to Chelsea.
Yeah. And that was what, 4 years, 3 years apart? It's not common.
The Chelsea game, the Champions League final, was a classic Guardiola, what have you done?
Yeah, and it was Jazz Solo, and was it Rodri or Prunt or whatever?
What did he do? Well, I can't actually remember what the silly
basically
was.
his midfield like was non-existent that day, and Chelsea were set up to counter-attack, and that's exactly what they did for the goal. Mason Mount to Kai Havertz, who I'm sure we'll talk about in a bit.
Mason Mount to Kai Havertz, you know, the two of them, the world at their feet.
Yeah. What about lads?
Mason Mount's making a comeback. The Man United fans are like, oh, he's actually a good player.
There's a player in there.
They're falling in love with him.
Yeah, he's lost his status of what a player he was, by the way. Yeah. Mason Mount. There's a player in there, is his current status.
Yeah. Is there a world in which Man United's B team accidentally is good and plays well tonight? I think that the
you're massively obsessed with Man United.
I just think that
he'll
accidentally pick, you know, Casemiro and Mount, who aren't going to play at the weekend, and then they're like, we can do this. Look at us.
You're like my own father, who hates Man United, but spent his whole life talking about them. You're very similar to him in that sense.
Do you know what? The worst part about this season for United is that there's a lot of indifference where they lose a game and people just don't even comment anymore.
Who is more apathetic as a fan base, Spurs or Man United?
Oh, Man United fans are not apathetic. Spurs fans are not apathetic. They're apoplectic with rage.
No, very
nice.
They
had this cup final to fall back on and to fix the whole season. The men in black of this year, boop, everybody like, oh, Champions League football. That's what we wanted at the start of the season. That's what we got. And we got a trophy.
Only four sides have lost their first three cup finals. So Palace doesn't want to join that list. And also the fact that they haven't beaten Man City in 8 attempts. So I am going to go for a City victory.
Yeah, look, it makes sense. I mean, obviously, that's the boring thing to do. That's what the stats will tell you.
I'm an economist, the price of everything is the value of nothing. I'm happy with my head, but I'm disappointed in my heart about what I envision this happening tomorrow.
I'm thinking that, you know, all that space in Wembley for Sarr, for Eze, for Mateta.
I really hope they play well.
And Adam Morton as well.
Now,
What a player he is, by the way.
Could be one of his last games for Palace.
Yeah, I'd say so.
One of them will get injured early in the game and it'll be a routine. Haaland will score just before half time.
Why didn't you go for that? I know that's what you actually believe.
The 1987 birthday party in Gallows Hill. I was like, look at this, everybody's watching.
Are people still sleeping a bit on Adam Morton? Blackburn Rovers fan of my life, who says this guy's going to go right to the very top.
It calmed down, but obviously he went to the Euros, but because of the injury he had at the start of the season, a lid has been kept on it. But then the last few weeks, he started to get his mojo back, and people are going.
Who's he signing for?
Well, I mean,
Mendy's gone to Arsenal, so he's not going there.
Yeah, so he's been linked to Liverpool, but everyone's been linked to Liverpool this week.
Would he be stupid enough to go to United?
Well, it all depends on where they're shopping.
Champions League?
Yeah. United are...
The budget would be blown.
They're basically...
Up,
United have the shopping bags in their hands, but they just don't know what shop they're going to yet.
Yeah. Self-service or a person, yeah. Good question. It'd be amazing signing, though. He's some player. But ultimately, I think City are going to disappoint us all. The FA Cup final... are you on the It's Last as Magic bandwagon?
Last year was good.
But it was a repeat of the previous year.
Yeah, but United were good last year.
It was actually this very, very day last year that The Guardian reported that regardless of the result, Erik ten Hag is going to lose his job.
Oh, hang on a second. This year he just reported that your man's staying, and he was wrong there. So
that's where I was going.
That's where I'm going with
Ruben Amorim.
Yeah.
Maybe it is right to talk about Man United. So that's the FA Cup final in the books there, as you see a variety of predictions for that one. It starts at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. We'll move to our other Premier League game for this weekend at the Emirates Stadium on Sunday. It's Arsenal against Newcastle United. No side has ever beaten Arsenal 4 times in one season, but Newcastle are on the cusp of it. So again, with this one, a bit like the cup final, there's a variety of predictions.
Say that again. No side has ever beaten the other side 4 times in one season.
No side has ever beaten Arsenal in four times in one season. So of course there was the League Cup semi-final, those two legs, and in the league as well previously. So Newcastle have Arsenal's number this season. I think it'll be a 1-1 draw. Jer thinks also a draw, but double that, 2-2. And Phil is also going for a draw.
1-1,
lads, yeah. We have no faith in someone to actually take this game by the scruff of the neck. Why is that? Two very evenly matched sides?
Well, I think Newcastle were good last week in the first half. Now, they kind of sat back in the second half. People would have thought, I thought Chelsea were really good in the second half. But you know, you can be out of possession, you can still have control where you look quite comfortable. There's going to be a nice bit of needle in this game because of those League Cup semi-finals. Yeah. There has been a few fiery affairs between the two sides over the last couple of years. So I think it'll be a good one. But yeah, Arsenal just seem to be limping towards the finish line. Newcastle, it's right there for them. I mean, what a season it will be if they get League Cup and Champions League.
Does the sentence Kai Havertz is set to return excite you?
No.
But that's what they have.
It's another warm body, and they need warm bodies this stage.
Wouldn't you hate to be described like that?
Well, like he hasn't been bad, but neither would you say he's been good. So
it's not that long ago we were saying that he was bad, and now how are we in a situation where people are saying, oh, they'll be boosted by the return of Kai Havertz?
I suppose you think that he's slightly better than Marino. Oh, he might not be, do you know? He actually might not be as a stand-in, fill-in, not quite a 9-9. So I think, then you do also have Marino to play, if you want, as an extra body in midfield, which I don't know if...
Well, Rice is a doubt as well. Obviously, he missed last week's game at Anfield because he had a hamstring issue. But then, you know, you're watching the game on Sunday and Alexander Isak is playing for Newcastle, who was brilliant in those League Cup semi-finals, the two legs, especially the one at the Emirates, where he was doing things to Saliba and Gabriel that you're just not used to seeing, like making them so uncomfortable.
Yeah, and he is very good, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't think he's leaving Newcastle.
I want my guess back. Newcastle are going to win this. Stop it. I can't change it.
I think they're a bit short of the back.
We'd all take it back if we could, you know.
Yeah.
But it's your birthday, in fairness.
That game hasn't started. It's 4:30 on Sunday.
Well, get on to SKG and let them know. There's your change. See how that goes.
It actually doesn't matter, this game. They're both qualified for the Champions League. It matters in who finishes second, who finishes third.
So Arsenal are in second on 68 points. Newcastle placed below in third on 66.
But Newcastle can't be caught by Villa, so they're clear. They need to lose this game and lose.
Yeah, this tonight will actually
lose or draw against Everton, but that's not going to happen.
What is it about Arsenal, right, the last few seasons under Mikel Arteta, is that they always seem to finish with a whimper. But I'll put it to you this way, Phil, like they got deep into the Champions League. They're at the moment second in the Premier League, on course to finish there. If they had reversed their fortunes this season and, say, started particularly slowly, now they weren't that convincing at the start of the season, but started really poorly, and then found their way up to where they are on the table in the last month or two, do you think the narrative around Arsenal would be slightly different? Because they always seem to falter that little bit at this stage of the season, and that's people's lasting memory of Arsenal at the end of each season.
Yeah, and why is that? You think back to the City game when they won 5-1, and, you know, all that was around that, but... 4 wins in 12 league games since that City game. And obviously, Havertz, his injury happened during that break after the City game where they went off to Dubai and he blocked a shot and tore his hamstring. But we kept hearing that, when Saka comes back, it'll be different. But I just think the way they play now, it's so...
functional?
It is, but... sometimes I look at them and I think he's setting up to make sure he doesn't lose a game. Like, they don't lose many games, but they draw way too many games.
Colum's argument, which he's been making all season, is that this isn't going to be their year, but next year will be their year when they get Zubimendi and a striker. And there's some merit in that, but there's a sign on Doyle's Corner in Dublin, which people might be familiar. There is a good time coming, be it ever so far away. There's a good time coming for Arsenal fans. It's just out of reach. Next year, it's going to be our year. Why not us? Because this is the year you're playing.
Play devil's advocate for me, right? Arteta has to sell one of his key players. So that would be one of, say, the centre-halves or central midfielders in order to get that world-class striker. Is it worth it?
You'd sell one of the midfielders because you can...
Rice or Odegaard goals, Partey goals.
You can make it with Partey.
Partey is very, very important. So now maybe Zubimendi will kind of cushion that blow. But certainly Odegaard and Rice, of those goals,
I'd sell
get a striker.
I'd sell Odegaard in the morning, you'd be able to find a different way. The striker...
Martin, it sounds too simple. It sounds very simple to fix it, just get a striker.
No, it's obviously not simple.
This is going to be the fascinating thing, that if they do sign the striker, does it all change?
Do they start putting balls into him? How do they use him? Yeah. Is it a striker?
Who is the striker?
And what type of striker? Is it a striker like somebody like Harry Kane who comes deep and adds bodies in midfield, and then, or is it somebody who's just a fox in the box like they've been banging on about for 30 years at Arsenal? Franny Jeffers was going to be the solution for Arsenal all those years ago. Turns out you need a Thierry Henry.
Yeah. Possibly. They're in a very difficult position, Arsenal, I find.
And the thing is,
they can't sack Arteta. Like,
no, but touching on what Ger said, they're so close. The thing is, City are going to be a lot better next season.
Are they though? Are they definitely going to? They're not going to be as bad, but they're going to be better.
Rodri.
They're probably
not a year older, lads, injured.
Yeah, they'll sign about six players.
Like
remember Nico Gonzalez?
Yeah,
he signed them in January.
Jesus, yeah, what happened
he hasn't
there?
Played for the last.
Yeah, what's gone on there?
But they almost just write it off.
I think we're underestimating Pep Guardiola's motivation here.
I think the one thing about City is that we don't know what the impact of them playing in the World Club Cup is going to be, that they might all be bollocks after it, and it could be Christmas before they get their squad fit again fully. But then they will go on a run of 15 games where they win everything, because
they're unbeaten in 10 now, and this is like they've been awful this season.
Oh, they'll be smart enough to play like 60 or 70% in that Club World Cup.
Oh, I don't think so. I think the prize money is amazing, and also
no one's going to judge them on it.
But history will judge. If this becomes what FIFA thinks it might become, which let's face it, there was the same kind of World Cup's never going to take off in the 30s. Like, this is a nonsense idea. Why do we want this, right? And then it's like, actually turns out World Cup quite important. People like football tournaments. They especially like knockout football tournaments over the course of 4 weeks, where you can literally just tune into these 4 weeks and it's self-contained and all the best players in the world are going to be playing, largely.
At 70%. Walking football.
I don't think it will be very hot. It will be very hot.
I just thought, before we leave the Premier League, Phil, second to fifth as we sit here now is Arsenal, Newcastle, Man City, Chelsea, with Aston Villa in sixth and Forest in seventh. So Forest do have a chance to move here. Do you think that will be the final table?
Tonight is going to be... I expect Villa to win. Villa's goal difference is killing them.
They need to rack up 9 tonight and 7 at Old Trafford, and then they'll be back in the game.
And what kind of United do you want?
Villa's goal difference is 7, by the way.
I'm totally pissed up.
Do you want Europa League champions?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
do you want... We just lost to Tottenham in a final.
You're better off for United to lose that.
I'll
be depressed.
From a work perspective, I want to see Arthur and Colin's faces the next morning after they lose.
But you won't see my face.
There's not a hope in hell that they're going to lose.
Won't be here. So, for context there, Phil mentioned that's
his
goal
difference. We'll be FaceTiming you in. Don't worry.
It's tiny, like it's plus 7. It's only 3 better than Spurs all the way down to 17th. And for context, Chelsea, who are only one place above level on points, their goal difference is plus 19 to Villa's plus 7. What's wrong with Unai Emery's side?
It took him ages to get going.
The thing about the last day of the season is obviously that Forest-Chelsea game.
Huge, isn't it?
So, like, Forest have West Ham this weekend. Would you trust Forest away to West Ham to win? I don't think so. No. It's just the last few weeks. See, the problem is Forest have been unbelievable, and I would hate to hear people describe, if they don't get Champions League, it's a bit of a disappointment. It really isn't. Like, they were nearly relegated last season.
You can't tell fans how to feel, Phil. It seems to be the lesson that we've learned recently. I can see how you would be disappointed, though, because they were so good for so long. It was like last year with Villa. In the end, they squeaked in at the very end. Yeah. But they were so good for so long that it would have been like, oh my God, I can't believe we didn't get it. Because it is like a season that everybody will remember forever. You're in the Champions League. They play the Europa League music by accident. Doesn't matter. Everybody forgives them.
Could be for next season.
Marcus Rashford, do you sign him or not?
I don't think so at this stage, no. I don't think they will. I think it was a reasonably successful experiment. I understand... Everybody in the office hates Marcus Rashford, and so therefore I'm on
with
this.
No. That's very unfair and frankly inaccurate.
Yeah. I always said I would have loved to have seen him playing in Pep's City team.
I actually didn't know you thought that.
On the left-hand side, and I remember I was laughed at when I said what a player he could be under Pep Guardiola. And Guardiola apparently thought the same.
I wonder, is it too late?
He spent an awful lot of football for his age as well. Started young, there was a lot of pressure on him early at United because he came through at a very, very bad time.
That's has missed a lot of football for various reasons.
My worry actually is the next few years.
The hamstrings.
Is there going to be more injuries?
Yeah. Would you prefer Asensio to hold on to?
Asensio is cheap as chips. It's 10 million or something. I think Asensio is good.
He's a lot to his game though, isn't he?
I think the early goal scoring glut may have been a little bit of fool's gold. He's not going to be scoring as many goals as he did when he arrived. He's a very good footballer. Like, Villa are trying to build a squad that can compete in Europe, in the Premier League, and in the Cups. And you need players of that level who are pretty good. The thing about Asensio is, right, he's 29. I'd love to see
Unai Emery and Monchi buy players at 18, 19 who are better than everybody else's 18 and 19 year olds, and that was their superpower. Like, the John Duran business was absolutely sensational, but you know, it's very tricky.
Remember
the
him?
Morgan Rogers business is incredible business. Now, Liverpool linked with him, I don't know what price they'd pay.
As I said, everyone's linked with Liverpool. Last I checked, we were all linked with Liverpool.
All right, we have a pair of FA Cup finals to talk about this week, of course. So our last game is the Women's Showdown. That's on Sunday at 1:30. It's Chelsea against Manchester United. And for those listening only, Shane Hannan is out on his own here. He thinks Manchester United are going to do the job here in extra time. Everyone else is going for Chelsea. So I have, I think, 1-0 there. Ger has 3-0 and Phil has 3-1. Is it 2-1, 3-1? It's understandable. Because Chelsea are nearly flawless this season. They're unbeaten in the league. They've been unbeaten throughout the season here to win the treble.
Domestically, yeah.
Yeah.
They've lost three games all season, all in Europe. Mm-hmm. Sonia Banpastor, I mean, she was brought in to take over from Emma Hayes. That's not easy. And then it was like, right, what do you want to do? The Champions League is the one competition Emma Hayes couldn't win. She got Chelsea to a final. They got absolutely pummeled by Barcelona. Barcelona hockeyed Chelsea over two legs in the semi-finals this season. But apart from that, okay, they lost the first leg to City, but they overturned that in the second leg. Apart from that, unbeaten, 60 points in the WSL, walked the league, won the League Cup, could win a domestic treble. And I suppose then Sonia Banpastor has had a season in English football, then she'll know, you know, what's it going to take to win the Champions League with Chelsea. She's won it with Lyon as a player and a manager. I'd expect them to win tomorrow. United beat them last season in the cup final. Jim Ratcliffe didn't go.
Maybe semi-final, wasn't it?
No, it was the final.
I thought Chelsea beat them the year before in the final. Okay, yeah.
Oh, no, the year before Chelsea beat them, but last season United won the cup.
Oh, I thought it was in the semi-final they beat them, yeah.
And the thing with United that game is they scored two very early goals. Mm. I just don't think that'll happen. Their squad depth is ridiculous, Chelsea's.
Chelsea have won 5 of their last 7 cup finals. They've beaten United 13 of the last 15 times. It's a funny old one, Gerard, though, because if United do get this job done and they do win the Men's Europa League final, they've 2 trophies at the end of a calamitous, calamitous season.
Does
that make up for everything? Does Sir Jim say I told you so?
Spawny Man United.
It is mad the way he's treated the women's side, isn't it, Jim Ratcliffe?
It's not bad. It's very much in keeping with his character and his personality. Like, you can see exactly how he comes to those conclusions. This is Manchester United's future. He's the saviour. Beware. Is it better the devil, you know? I mean, over the Glazers now, huh?
Is this the best use of a stadium that will no longer host the team? Goodison Park will host the women's side next season. I didn't know what was going to happen to it. I was wondering, was it going to be apartments or whatever? But it will actually host the women's team. It seems like a good thing. I mean, my actual instinct reaction was like, oh, it's not good enough for the men, but it is good enough for the women. But you can turn that into a positive and say, if you actually fill out the place every week, it could be a great atmosphere and a great thing.
Will people go that never got to Goodison and think, never really thought about going? But
yeah.
It'd be easier to get tickets.
We'll see what happens next season in terms of the atmosphere and the attendance at that game.
Chelsea are going to hammer Man United. What are we talking about here? The Chelsea are going to hammer Man United. They're the best team by far.
They played a few weeks ago in the league and it was only 1-0.
Keeping their powder dry.
It'll be cagey.
I think it'll be less cagey now that they're free, right? Because they're free from the burden of losing a game.
I still think there's pressure on Chelsea because everyone expects them to win. I mean, we all do, apart from Shane.
Brave man away on his daughter's first birthday. You share that together. Very nice, isn't it? Off the ball generations there coming together. Who you got is an association with William Hill. Remember, you must be over 18. Visit gamblingcare.ie for more. Who I got, 2 great lads who love their football. Enjoy your weekend.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. You can boost your winnings on the Sunday game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
On this morning's Off the Ball breakfast, we had some of this.
Look, if you're a sevens player, it's very, we rightly so, feel very hard done by compared to the way the 15s game. But ultimately, the 15s game is what drives money and gives a return.
And there was also some of this.
And it is a depression, as much as people don't want to talk about it and things, you do be depressed after the games if you got beaten. And then it's trying to pick yourself up, but not only pick yourself up, you have to pick the lads up and go again. The whole staff, everyone. Yeah. And then if the results keep going, it's you that's getting it. It's not the players.
You can catch everything from this morning's Off The Ball breakfast elsewhere on the Go Loud app and every weekday morning from 7.30.